give me one shot here on a blue chip stock, believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA Draft fans? Your boys are back. The Wolves of Ball Street, your favorite draft analyst, My name is Corey Tullivan, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Albert. Garbage time. Gim. Back with another episode breaking down your favorite prospects from the 2025 NBA draft class. Albert, how we doing today, bud?
Doing great. I'm ready to rock. I think, we're getting back into the flow of things. I know, Corey, when we were planning for the pod today, we were kind of like, oh, you know, well, like we've talked about some of these guys, but then realizing, no, those were all preseason pods, and now we can go super deep on, we can go in depth on a lot of these guys and break them down. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, we got a fun little duo today. We got Asa Newell from Georgia and Derek Queen from Maryland, a couple of former Montverde front court players on that monster Montverde team of the last few years. So, Albert, I'm going to leave it up to you. Which of these guys do you want to hit on first?
I actually want to hit on Asa first.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I am down for that. So Asa Newell, 6'11", 220 via Georgia's website. He will be 19.7 years old on draft night, playing at Georgia, kind of a forward center, averaging 15.3 points per game, 6.8 rebounds per game, 0.9 assists to one turnover, one block, 1.3 steals on 55, 29, 75 splits, 10.5 BPM. So he's having a very productive freshman season. And he is one of the players that I think that I am, I don't know if struggling is the right word, but I'm struggling with his placement within this class. I have questions. I think I have some answers. But I'm excited to bounce, you know, his breakdown off of you, because this is a guy I've gotten a chance to see over the last few years. I've seen him a ton, and like every time I see him, I'm like, oh, you know who's awesome? Asa Newell's awesome. And yet I still have questions, which I think, you know, is the point of this whole process. So before we get into like how he's been this year, you know, he was a guy, one of the guys that we got to watch up close at Hoop Summit. We got a chance to speak to him and interview him, but the mic didn't work. So that would have been a boring interview to post on YouTube of just us in silence talking at each other. But what were your impressions of Asa up close last year?
Yeah, I mean, that video we had, John Boy probably would have had a really hard time doing lip reading on some of that stuff. But no, Corey, I think watching Newell in person, I felt like he was a pretty athletic player. I wouldn't say he was like a special athlete at all, but a guy that like was moving well, getting off the floor pretty well, tall, pretty long. Like his overall game, though, at least in that setting, I don't think anything really like jumped off. I don't want to say the screen because we were there, so it really stuck out that much to me. It was clear that he was working. The one thing I will give him credit for, though, Corey, was like it felt like he was working on NBA skills. You know, it felt like he wanted to work on pick and roll, pick and pop stuff. I think he wasn't doing too much work in terms of like ball handling and taking a guy off the dribble and one-on-one stuff. I think he, at least in that context, felt like he was very self-aware and was like, hey, I'm here and I'm going to work on things that I very likely will be doing on the NBA level. And so he's like working on his screening and rolling and popping and, you know, shooting open jumpers from outside, like off the catch and not necessarily off the dribble. And so, I didn't think he was like crazy impressive in person, but at the same time, like little details like that, I do think mean something. And so, I walked away like okay with him, pretty impressed, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And he had I felt like he had a better game than he had practices. I thought he was pretty impactful in the game and he like really got a chance to show his motor and some of the skills. I kind of like what you said where he was working on NBA skills, because I think that one of the more impressive aspects of his game is that he does seem to know who he is as a player.
Yeah.
And you know, he has strengths, and he doesn't always try to break out of the box too much, which I think is important for a guy like him. Maybe it leaves you wondering, like, what else does he have, you know, lying beneath the surface with his game? And I think if you're somebody who believes in his potential heavily, like, maybe there's reason to believe based on what he hasn't shown and what you think he could be. But to me, like, he knows who he is. He goes in, night out. He's pretty consistent in doing what he does. And I think that is overall one of his strengths. Now, as we get into his game, what aspect do you think that we should start with?
Honestly, with his offensive game, I think we could talk about it like as a whole, once again, just because I think it, kind of like an overarching thing, so, theme, something you said, even when you were introing him, Corey, you were like, he's kind of maybe a forward big type of guy, you know, and I think that will be kind of like one of the big themes as we break down Asa Newell, is like, what is he going to end up being? And I think even right now for Georgia, they ask him to do like a lot of big man things and, you know, to anchor the defense and stuff like that. But it's hard to project right now if that's what he's going to end up doing on the next level. And so when we talk about the offense, there are definitely some good things that we're going to highlight. But even that, I think just when we study his offense as a whole, there are some question marks about like how these things are going to travel up to the next level and if they will translate. But yeah, overall offensively, Corey, I did want to say like there are good things though. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. And I think if we're talking about the good things, like to start with, like he's an awesome finisher at the rim. Yeah, he's 72.5% at the rim, 65% in the half court, 45 dunks already. You mentioned like he doesn't have like that tippy top tier athleticism. I think his athleticism shows more in like how quick his jump is rather than like how high he gets vertically on his jump. And I also am wondering what his measurements are ultimately going to be at. Is he more 6'11 or is he going to be 6'9", 6'10? Is he going to have a 7'4" wingspan or is it going to be 7'7"? Like I've seen it reported as like 7 foot. And I think that lack of wingspan kind of, you know, takes away some from what the verticality appears to be. But you know, at near the rim, like he's really very good. He's really fluid in transition, so he can run the floor, finish as a trailer, finish running the pipe. Beast on the offensive glass. I think that's one of his biggest strengths is that he is really good at creating second chance opportunities for himself. So like out of the last like six or so drafts, something like that I've been tracking for centers who have like become viable rotation players, the average offensive rebounding percentage is somewhere around 11.7, something like that. And he's at like 13.7. So he's, you know, a really, really good offensive rebounder. I think he's got a strong nose for the ball, knows, you know, where it's going to come off the rim. And then at the same token, like when he does get it, he's quick to get up off that first jump and even a second jump. So like, I think, you know, that is his bread and butter. That's where I think he's most comfortable, most effective. And for me, that's where I feel most comfortable with his game kind of translating.
No, I 100%, Corey. Something that I wrote that stuck out to me the most with him is he's a really good cutter. And that's something that he showed in high school. He's showing now on the next level in college, playing off of the next guy we're going to be talking about. Did a really good job of cutting off ball and getting open and finding easy looks. And as you mentioned, you brought up the numbers, right? He's been great around the rim, really, really good with the dunks. Yeah, and if you go on Synergy and look at his numbers, like he's just excellent, very good on his around the rim stuff. And so, yeah, I think like if we talk about like some of the in-between stuff, yeah, like I do have some questions about his touch. I'm not saying that he has bad touch, but I also don't think he has like great touch either. And so you don't see a ton of like the runners and the, you know, little in-between stuff with him. But once again, like I do think, as you mentioned, like the work that he does on the offensive boards is really important. Like NBA teams really value that. Like being a Knicks fan, I can tell you, like Coach Tibbs, he freaking loves offensive rebounders. And that's like one of the main things he looks for when he looks at bigs. And it's a very valuable skill. And if you're, you know, willing to grind and, you know, get extra possessions for your team, like that's worth a ton. And so it's good that he's good about that. And he tries to dunk everything and he's good around the rim. But yeah, like at the same time, once again, like it, you kind of come back to that question. Like he's also not, in my opinion, Corey, I think he's closer to like 6'9", 6'10", than he is 6'11". But at the same time, we saw him like almost a year ago. So it is very possible that a college-aged person is still growing. And so that could be a thing. But, you know, combined with, you know, the not-so-elite athleticism, and then maybe he's not the longest guy either. So, yeah, it's easy to go back and forth with him. But I will say, Corey, like with his at-rim finishing, a lot of that is like going to have to come like, you know, off a screen and him coming down the lane and doing something off of that, because his post-up game, I think, is like pretty limited. I thought the footwork was just okay. Then he's, you know, left-hand dominant down there too. So, yeah, I'm definitely not trying to come off as like I don't like him. I do like him as a player, but there are some limitations to him offensively.
So I almost wish that he would be used as a roller more often.
Yes.
You know, because for me, my big struggle with him is I think he's this tweener 4-5 without a true position either way, but he's always typically playing with another guy who like can't step out in space. So he's kind of playing the perimeter four guy, and a lot of his screens are him kind of popping to the perimeter. And I mean, he's got 45 dunks off of transition, some of those cuts, being, you know, kind of opportunistic in the dunker spot. And I think that like he should be used more often as just the main rim pressure guy. And if he does play as the five, I think that he offers that to a team, because when he does roll hard to the rim, like he's very quick off his feet, like he's got good hands to catch it, I think. And I think like he's even leaving, like he could have more dunks at the rim and be even more effective there if the roster construction was a bit different and he wasn't always kind of playing in that perimeter position. But like, I agree with you. Like as a guy who you would look and be like, well, does he have any like self-creation lying beneath the surface? And like, I agree, like he doesn't really have a deep bag in the post, nor do I think his face-up game is really anything to write home about. When he does get the ball in the post, he kind of always goes back to that right shoulder lefty baby hook. And like his touch is, I think, okay, but it's not anything like where you're like, oh man, we have to stop him from getting to this spot as an opposing defense. I think if he gets to that, like, and that's the shot you get, you live with it, especially because one of the things, like, he gets outmatched physically a lot, and that's part of the reason, like, can he play the five? Like, when he does post up, he can't really own the spot. He gets pushed out, and that hook shot goes from like a little baby hook shot around the rim to like outside the semicircle. You know, and so, and look, he's young. He'll get stronger, you know, but does he have that kind of frame that could support it, where he's still kind of, he doesn't lose anything with his agility? So it's, I do have concerns about the play style. I mean, he's not very good at drawing contact either.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's due to the lack of physicality. I mean, free throw rate of 32.3. If I'm looking at him as a five and going back to the work I've done from past drafts, the average free throw rate for centers is like 50. So he is like red flag territory. Yep. As far as like drawing contact at the rim. And he's a decent free throw shooter at 75%. So you wish that he got there more often. And that's why, like, even though he finishes everything, you know, he's not like super duper efficient overall, you know, from like a big man. So I think it all kind of depends how you're viewing him and positionally how you view him. Like, you could say that like the 4-5 is a versatile, you know, he's versatile enough to play both, but like, I don't know if he's good enough particularly at either to like, I don't know. I don't even know how to word that correctly, where it's like, but he's clearly good is the thing. He's effective when he's on the court. He's consistent. He always does good things, but like, can he man the five full time? And can he complement an NBA center to play the four full time? And that like maximizes what you want to do as a team. So he, this is where I'm being tripped up with him.
Yeah. Corey, I actually don't like thinking in these and like in this frame, but it happened to me like watching one of his games. I forgot who, it might have been South Carolina, but I don't like thinking about like, oh, is this player like kind of like only just going to be good in college type of situation? But like watching some of his film, I did feel like some of his numbers were like a little bit inflated by like playing against guys that are like that just don't exist in the NBA level. Once again, not trying to hate on those guys, but you know, they're playing college ball, they're trying their best, right? But some guys just like physically you won't see that type of archetype in the NBA. And like, I don't know, like I it did wonder, like everything that you're saying, Corey, I 100,000,000% agree with, which is making like I've read articles about him where people feel very convinced that like they think he's going to be an NBA starter one day. And like what I wrote in my notes is like, how, like where exactly is he going to play? I don't feel like he has shown enough in terms of like perimeter skills for me to be like, oh, I think he could be like a modern day four, because a lot of modern day fours have that perimeter aspect of their games. Like just being realistic, right? Like we can say, and we haven't talked about it yet, but like people, a lot of people are projecting that he's going to be a good outside shooter. And I'm just like, how do you know that? Like, I don't really see great touch from him. Obviously the free throw shooting has been good, but like he also hasn't taken like a ton of free throws this year. And then from outside, realistically, he's taken 58 threes and only made 17 of them, which comes out to 29.3%. So I understand like people want to be positive while looking at a player, and we always try to, Corey, but my thing is like, where are the markers, where are the benchmarks, where's the evidence that'll make you that'll really push you in that direction where you start to believe that he could be more of a perimeter type of guy? And then everything that you said about the interior, right? And we haven't even talked about the defense, but offensively, like if you want him to be a five, like yeah, you need him to be a screener and roll in, obviously vertical threat, that stuff is great, but he is lacking in strength. He really doesn't have a bag, like we just talked about. Like he's very predictable in the post if you're ever going to throw it to him. And I believe in the NBA level, like I can't see a lot of NBA coaches looking at Asa Newell and being like, oh, I want to throw the ball down to him in the post and like let him work. So yeah, I agree, man. It's a very, very tricky eval with him. And yet, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So with the shot, 29% from three.
Right.
And not like a ton of volume, good, pretty good volume if you're looking at a potential like stretch five. Sure. I think that mechanically there's nothing like, I think it's okay, but I think it's a little slow. It's a little methodical. Mm-hmm. I think the touch is particularly good on it. He's 39% on unguarded catch and shoots, 30% overall. Like, I don't think I look at him and go, this is going to be a knockdown guy, but you know, you get with the right shooting coach, the tools are there, at least as a baseline for that, where, but I don't think teams respect it. Like they're not rushing out to the line to chase him off of it. And then like, he's good in a straight line attacking downhill, but it is very like straight line. Like he's got a little Euro, but you know, again, there's not a lot of creativity in that. And then like he's also not like a super interesting playmaker. Like I think he's more of like a ball mover. I don't think he's got like that like fun connective stuff. He showed a little bit of that in high school, and like there are some flashes of like, oh, that was a nice pass to like a cutter through traffic, or you know, really good placement on that, but it's, you know, pretty few and far between. Like assist rate's pretty low, but he doesn't turn the ball over, so he is a really good decision maker, right? But that's the thing, he doesn't really bite off more than he can chew all that often. And you know, when you go back to like, where does he fit in on the court? Like, this is my big issue with him before we even, you know, touch on the defense. Coach Nate, I think it was, shout out to him, mentioned like stylistically, because you know, we love our stylistic comps. He mentioned Marvin Bagley, and I couldn't really get it out of my head of like another like kind of tweener 4-5 that doesn't really offer rim protection, who was like really productive in college and was younger, because I think Bagley was a reclass if I'm not mistaken, so he was a little younger, he was like a half a year younger, something like that, who shot it well on low volume, although Ace is better at the free throw line, doesn't get there as much. But, you know, kind of lacked that kind of definitive position and the kind of defensive impact, I think, that keeps you on the floor is a big. So then you go to like, all right, if he's not Marvin Bagley, then who is he in the NBA? Is he Bobby Portis? Is he Chris Boucher? Like, I don't know. The names are, it's tricky. I'm just, you know, trying to imagine him as a position, and maybe it's my lack of imagination, which is totally possible, right? Because again, in like, if we switch over to the defensive side of the ball, I think he's like pretty smart off the ball, but he doesn't offer a ton of rim protector. 4.1% block percentage. If you're looking at him as a potential five, it's like red flag territory. He is pretty good at getting vertical, but guys can go right through his chest. He doesn't rebound on the defensive side of the ball.
No, I
think that guys just toss him around down low when they box him out. 13.4 defensive rebound percentage average for a center is around 22. But again, I don't think he's a true four. So he's in, to me, like in a big spot, he's kind of in no man's land. He can guard on the perimeter. He can move his feet. He stays with guys. He's pretty good at like in ball screens, like Georgia will like kind of like soft hedge to the level, and he can kind of like recover back to his man when he pops and get a contest. Like he gives good effort. I've seen him get vertical even when he doesn't get a shot block. I think he's pretty smart in a drop. I think positionally he's good. So it's hard because I think he's a really good college player.
Yeah.
And he's been really effective and he's been consistent. And as a freshman in a really good conference, I don't think that's easy. But how effective can he be? Is he going to anchor your defense? Is my question. I don't know. And like, so again, it could just be I'm looking at him wrong.
Yeah.
And that he's just going to be an awesome hybrid 4-5 who can kind of come in Swiss Army knife it. And, you know, maybe he's just like kind of late career Al Horford or something, you know. I don't know.
It's so funny, Corey. Like, I was just listening to you right now and I was like, wow, so many of the things that you just said, we said the exact same things last week when we were talking about Jahni Broome. And it's like, oh, but Ace Newell is a freshman. It's not great.
Not our age.
I know. But, another tweet from Coach Nate, Corey, that I had saved because I really liked it. He's talking about Asa and he compared him to even Wendell Carter Jr. And he was talking about how Wendell Carter Jr., you know, when he was in college, you know, size stuff is probably similar. But like the type of production that Wendell Carter Jr. was putting up in college compared to Asa and then the difference in wingspan. Right, Ace is probably around like 7 foot, and Wendell Carter Jr. was like 7'5". And I know that Wendell Carter Jr. is like not one of your favorite players or anyone's favorite player, right? But sure. he was really productive in college. And then you look at Asa and you go like, man, how is this going to turn out? Is this like a college thing? Like, I hate thinking like that, but it kind of like the conversation kind of steers us in that direction in the same way that I did last week with Jahni Broome. It's like Jahni Broome's so freaking productive. And even during our mock draft on Sunday, Corey, you mentioned it too. You were like, dude, like he's so good, but why is he so good type of situation? You know, like it doesn't make sense. And so with Asa, Corey, like what you just said, right? Hybrid 4-5 type of thing. I'm like, that's why for me, Corey, like when I get to like the nuts and bolts of all this, I'm like, I don't know if I'm convinced that he's going to be like a rock solid NBA starter one day. Like I almost feel like I'm leaning towards like maybe he's going to be a really good sixth or seventh man, like a guy who comes off the bench, gives you energy, is competitive, has these skill sets that you're going to need from somebody coming off the bench to kind of plug and eat up some minutes. Like I hate to use this type of thing, but like maybe he's a middle reliever in baseball, a guy like, you know, your starter doesn't have it and he has to come out in the fourth inning, fifth inning, and you need a guy to come in and eat up 3-4 innings. And those guys don't get all the glory, but they are very important to your team over 162 game season plus the playoffs, right? Like it's the same thing in the NBA. Like sometimes you need a night where Mo Wagner comes in and he wins you a game. And you're not looking at Mo Wagner to be like your starting four or your starting five, but coming off the bench, right? Some nights he'll give you 18 and 10 and like three assists and you go, damn, Mo Wagner won us a game tonight in the regular season that gets us closer to our goals to the playoffs. And so that's kind of where I'm landing, Corey, with Asa. I think he's a very talented player, right? But there are things about him that it don't exactly fit. And so when we think about projecting, right, and looking forward, I do feel like a more realistic outcome for him might be like a very, very valuable, solid NBA backup big that you pay, I don't know, $8 to $12 million to a year, and you feel great about having him on your team.
Yeah. Well, with the rising cap, you know.
Well, yeah, 15 then.
More. Even like a guy like Naz Reid, you know, yes. who's like consistently very impactful and awesome off the bench, but you trade Kat and you're like, all right, well, Naz will step up from us. You know, we have Julius Randle. Shout out to somehow Julius Randle getting mentioned again in this podcast. but it's like, all right, but, you know, he can't handle the usage that Kat had consistently night in, night out with that attention. That's still valuable. I'm pretty certain, as certain as you could be in an exercise like this with the draft, that like Asa Newell is a longtime NBA player.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure of that. But I don't know what the high end outcome for him looks like. And that could just be my lack of imagination. I don't know.
No, I agree, Corey. And we see it all the time. We already mentioned a couple names like Mo Wagner, Naz Reid. There are all these types of guys that end up sticking around forever. Jonas Valanciunas, still in the league, collecting checks, going from team to team. Like, teams still value these types of guys. And so I'm not saying Asa Newell is Jonas Valanciunas, but what I am saying is with his skill set and the fact that he has this baseline of skills, if he can continue to tinker and continue to develop, whether it's at his outside shot or he decides to go like, oh, let me work on my ball handling, or let me, you know, bulk up and get stronger in the post and be, I don't know. Like, there are a lot of different ways that he can go about this, but like,
yeah,
to think that he's going to get all of those things and become this like next level, all-star level player, I just can't see it right now, is where I'm at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, a Brandon Clark, you know, who's just impactful and right on good teams. Like, but you know, what is he as a starting player night in, night out? Like, probably can do that for the right team, but yeah, I think Ace is good. So with that said, sell me this pen on Asa Newell.
All right. When it comes to Asa Newell, I think the sell with him is easy. You're going to get a guy who may not have the clearest defined, most defined role on the next level, but has such a strong baseline of strengths that an NBA team, it'll almost be crazy to pass up on him, whether it's like late in the first round or early second or whatever. Like, I think he may even be a guy that like NBA teams start to talk about in late lottery as well. But the thing with Asa is with his size, hopefully shooting ability from outside, but also the type of production he's offered as a rebounder, both on the offensive side. Defensively, I think he's still got to work on that side in terms of rebounding. But he's such a good finisher around the rim, a guy who, if you put him in ball screens, I think he's going to know what to do. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to be decisive, a guy who doesn't turn the ball over a ton. So he's just a rock solid future NBA player. That, you know, if you're looking to kind of round out your roster, you should be interested in a guy like Asa Newell to give you rock solid minutes off the bench.
100%. You know, and I think this is the perfect time to transition into Derek Queen, who I think we can make a lot of the same arguments for, and which is why I think this pairing is so fun. And also, you know, they have they were teammates at Montford. Two of the higher rated big men in this class, potential lottery picks, and like stylistically very different, but maybe a lot of the same concerns that people might have for them. So let's take a quick break, and then we will get into Maryland's Derek Queen. All right, we're back to break down Maryland forward Derek Queen. If you're watching live on YouTube, make sure that you comment in the chat, like, and subscribe if you have not yet. All right, let's do it. Derek Queen listed at 6'10", 246 via the Maryland website. I've seen him live again a ton, you know, through the years, Montford, All-Star games, different settings. I always thought he looked potentially what he's listed at, and I think he's got good length. He is going to be 20 and a half on draft night, so he is a little older for a freshman. But another one of these guys who did play at Montverde on that Cooper Flat team, just absolutely loaded. Rob Wright, Asa, just a loaded squad, has averaging 15.5 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 2.2 assists, to 2.2 turnovers, 1 block, 1.2 steals on 53-9, 74 splits. 25 PER, 9.1 BPM, a really funky player, a guy who maybe you could say has more upside and potentially more downside in comparison to Asa, but one of my favorite players in this class and somebody who I know I loved coming into the year. So what have your initial impressions of Derek Queen been this year?
Okay. I like him better than Asa. I'll just come out and say it. I like him better than Asa. And I think maybe it's because I think he has certain skill sets that feel very, very strong, where in some ways Asa can kind of feel like a jack of all trades, where Derek feels like he's more refined with some of his skills, which obviously we'll get into. And I think especially on the offensive side of the ball, like I think his passing is such a strong skill that I don't know if any of Asa's skills are even close to Derek Queen's passing, is how I feel right now. But like you said, Corey, there are some question marks about him, and he is going to have to continue to work on them. Some of the issues with him, I don't know, will ever be fixed, but, yeah, a very interesting player.
Yeah. And a little yin and yang, like Asa is somebody who I think you could say his motor runs hot. And you can always kind of tell that he's on go. And I think for Queen, he sometimes just looks like he's a little too cool for school, and like on both sides of the ball, it looks like he is maybe coasting, and maybe at times he is. And I think they even made mention of it, like in the Rutgers game where he put 29 up on them and was just like toying with them at times. It seemed like he hit like a fadeaway, like one-legged midi, from like the left sideline. And he was like chewing his mouthpiece like while the action was going on, type of thing, where it's just this like cool, calm demeanor. He's never really too demonstrative, and I think sometimes it could be easy to mistake that for like a lackadaisical laziness, and I don't necessarily know that it is, but his game's interesting and there's a lot to talk about with it. I think specifically about like what people I think he is versus what I think he's shown at Maryland. Cause you look at a guy who is not in like he has gotten in way better shape since high school, where he definitely was like, I don't know like that this definitely works because the conditioning needs to improve. I think he has slimmed down tremendously. And I think it's shown in a lot of the kind of agility stuff that we see with him on both sides of the ball. But I think people look at him and be like, oh, this is Shengun. This is a back to the basket guy who needs to be on the block. And like, I just don't think that's what he's shown at Maryland this year. Like he definitely played down there a lot in high school, but he's been like very perimeter based, and shown some really, really terrific stuff in my opinion. So I don't know, where do you kind of want to start with Queen?
Can we actually start with that, Corey? Because one of the things that I wrote in my notes really quickly is that I liked his handle better than Asa's. I thought he had more wiggle than Asa. I thought he was more comfortable in tight spaces than Asa was. From him being a bigger guy, like I thought he showed some really impressive flexibility at times even. And I understand like he's still working on his conditioning, but still like the way that he can get low and manipulate things with, you know, off the dribble for a guy his size, and to be as comfortable as he is in those tight spots at times, and the fact that he can get skinny even, I thought was
interesting and really kind of unexpected for me. I, you know, heading into his film, I was really expecting Corey, like you said, right, for him to be more like lower block, throw the ball to him, let him post up, and then, you know, make reads off of that. But some of the stuff that he did, I think it was even in his last game against Rutgers, he was like on the left wing, had this sick crossover,
got it, like left in and out, lefty in and out, yeah, into a cross, I think it was.
It was nasty. And I'm just like, oh, like, that's really, really impressive. And he had a couple finishes in that game as well, where it was like really tight in traffic, and he was just like slithering through guys and finishing. And I was like, oh, that's not normal for a guy that is as big as he is. And I think that deserves a lot of credit. So I 100% agree with what you said, Corey.
Dude, I think he's quick. Like, people are going to look at him and like be like, oh, he's slow. I think he's actually quick.
Yeah.
And when he's going down, like, he makes really quick decisions, 0.5 decisions. Like, he'll catch the ball and he will attack with the ball in his hands. Like, he has a good amount of, you know, self-generated dunks for somebody who you might perceive as like not super athletic or whatever. You know, he's got 30 dunks on the year. And, you know, he's not the above the rim lob threat type. Right. So I think his creation from the perimeter and is impressive. Especially considering teams do not respect his shot. He's 2 for 22, I think, from three.
Yes.
Shooting 9%. Like, there's no reason right now to respect his shot from the 3-point line. But because he can kind of pass as a, you know, he's a threat out there. And some of his passes, he gets a little too much dip on his chip sometimes, and he tries some stuff, which I personally love. And, you know, the turnovers sometimes are a little crazy. But like, the fact that he is a threat to pass, the fact that he is a threat to kind of, he's a big body and he can kind of run DHOs and sets good screens. Like, you kind of do have to play up a little bit. And when he gets the ball, he can beat guys with his quickness downhill. And then, like you said, he's got that slithery agility where he can weave, you know, and he's not like he's very quick to realize when guys are rotating over, and he's got the proprioception tools to kind of mitigate that and move out of the way. And still kind of stay controlled a lot of the time. So he's 68.9% the rim too, you know, like, and I think his self creation from the perimeter is a lot stronger, at this point. And, you know, we talk about, like, I do think there is some Şengün type stuff, 'cause he does have some of the back to the basket stuff. But J. Kyle Mann actually texted me at one point when we were talking about him, like, there's some Boris Diaw to his game. And this is kind of the first time that I've heard the name Boris Diaw, and I went, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I like that one. Corey, you know what I was thinking while you were talking? I remember when, like, Zion was coming into the league, everyone's like, oh, that's a kid that should have played football. I'm like, oh, you know, like, if an NFL scout watched Derrick Queen right now, I think they'd be like, oh, like, I need to talk to this kid. Because, like, he kind of moves like a defensive end. Like, if you look at what NFL teams look at in terms of defensive ends, they want these guys that are obviously big, right? But you want them to be quick. You want them to be bendable and flexible. And that's everything that Derrick Queen's showing right now while playing for Maryland. Obviously, 6'10 is way too tall to play defensive end in the NFL. But I think with Queen, the thing about him that's so special is, like, he has those short bursts of quickness, and he's flexible, and he, you know, once again, he can get, I know I keep saying the same thing, but it's really interesting to watch him do it. And it's almost jarring sometimes because he's such a big dude. And if he's going to continue to work on his body the way that he has, and he's going to get even more in shape, then it's easy to get excited about what this looks like on the next level, and his handle looking better. And I think his handle was always pretty good. But I like his handle and the fact that he is such a high level processor as a passer, and he pretty much sees the whole floor at all times, makes him really, really enticing. And so the Boris Diaw comp is awesome. I was really trying to figure out a comp for him, and I was struggling, and that's a pretty dang good one.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously no comp is one-to-one, but, like,
right,
how about this? Like, I was coming into the year, I was like, all right, he's probably got to be a 5. And now, similar to Asa, maybe I'm giving him more leeway, but I think it's because I think he's got more to his game offensively. Like, now it's like, oh, like, he's kind of got some 4-5 tweener stuff, but in a way I'm more optimistic than I am for Asa. because I think that you can use him really creatively, offensively, and he's actually like creating stuff rather than finishing, strictly finishing, right? Now he is a little older. I guess, like, you know, you could, his production is, I mean, he's been, I think, good the whole year, but he's been probably a little more inconsistent, where his highs are higher, but maybe like the lows might be lower. But I gotta say, I every time I watch him, I go, like, this is the best guy on the floor. Like, no matter who's on the floor, like, whether it's the game against Rutgers, like, I'm like, Derek Queen looks like the best guy on the floor tonight. You know, they're, and like the Big Ten's got a lot of good players. You know, you watch him against Illinois, you're like, Derek Queen's the best guy on the floor. You know, you watched him in that Marquette game and you're like, Derek Queen's best guy on the floor tonight. You watch him against Purdue, Derek Queen's the best guy on the floor tonight. And when I saw him in high school playing with Cooper Flagg and, you know, all those guys, or I see him in an all-star game, I'm like, you know who's probably the best player on the floor tonight? Derek Queen's the best player on the floor tonight. And I don't know. To me, like, I know how we feel about, like, eye test stuff like that in this community at this point, but I don't know. To me, that still means something. And, you know, if you want to be optimistic about his shot, he's taking them. They're not converting, but he's shown some really slick stuff in the mid-range, pull-ups, fadeaways, the one-legged Dirk stuff, free throw percentage of 74%. It's not awesome, but, you know, pretty good. And he's always been a good free throw shooter. He's never been a good three-point shooter. I think he attempted three his senior season. He was 9 for 39 on jumpers in the 2023 Under Armour circuit. But, you know, he was 78% from the free throw line last year at Montford. Like, he's always been a good touch guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he needs a little bit of work to change the form a little bit. But I buy his touch that he could potentially knock a shot or two down. But either way, I think that he has enough in the fact that he can attack downhill and he has that wiggle and that shake, and that he also, is like a good enough screener that he's going to make contact and you still have to play up on him out there, that he can take advantage and leverage, you know, even if he's not a shooter, I think he'll still be able to attack downhill. But if the shooting comes around and like, it's a bonus, where, with Asa, it's almost like a prerequisite, in my opinion.
I 100% agree, Corey. You talked about it before, how like, you were like, I think early on, you thought he was going to have to be a five on the next level. And then, now with the stuff that he's showing with off the dribble, it makes you wonder, like, okay, what does he look like next to Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah.
It's like, I like that.
Yeah, obviously, like, anybody should look awesome next to Victor Wembanyama. You're 6'3". You might look awesome next to Victor Wembanyama.
But like, my point is, like, it works, right? He's a guy that can play next to a big like that. Obviously because of, you know, what he can do both inside, outside, but also like his passing, like Derek Queen. Like, you throw it to him in the high post and he's gonna find somebody. You also, you know, give him the ball and dribble, and he can make live dribble passes as well to anywhere on the court with either hand. And so my thing with Derek Queen is, like, imagine a guy with this type of passing ability who also has good touch, with a guy like Victor Wembanyama, and you're running like 4 or 5 pick and roll, or with Chet running 4 or 5 pick and roll, or on OKC he's like running pick and roll with Isaiah Hartenstein, or, you know, he's a screener for Jalen Williams. Like, there's so many different options with a guy like Patrick Queen is a football player. But I just feel like, you know, with his skill set, size, it gets you excited, because like, what you can do offensively, like the options become more bountiful. You know, there's more out there that you can do. So he's a really exciting prospect to think about. And yet, there are some limitations, like we talked about as well.
So, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, according to Synergy, he's 40% on pick and rolls, the roll man. I think that that's something that he can, you know, improve pretty easily, especially because I think he's a threat to pass out of it. And I think he'll have better spacing than playing next to Julian Reese, who probably would have been a lottery pick like 12 years ago. You know, but just occupies a lot of that space. Then, you know, if we want to start getting into the stuff that we should be a little harder on him for. Because sure. I know we have been really optimistic about Derek Queen since the preseason when we did a pod on him. Shout out to the Barlow Bros. They've been talking about him, you know, since the preseason too. When it was, you know, not as popular to think of him in this light, right? We were, yeah. I think we saw this stuff offensively and we were like, all right, it might be a little bit of an issue defensively, because this is also a guy who is not a rim protector. He is at one a game. He was at like a half a block at Montverde in the high school level. So could he anchor you? That's trickier. Mm-hmm. Where I think people might get lost though is that it's like, all right, he's just a bad defender, and because of what he looks like, he's somebody who's gonna like be toast on the perimeter. And like, I am here to tell you, I could not disagree more. Mm-hmm. Like, I just straight up think he's been good on an island, like guarding whoever, whenever. I think that agility, his ability to flip his hips, his length, the strength that he could absorb contact. I don't think guards have an easy time getting past him, because he's also smart in how he positions. You know, he'll weak guys. He'll have guys go into the help. And I just think like he's good. He rebounds the hell out of the ball. I don't think he's a negative defensively. Mm-hmm. And I think that he can guard on the perimeter as good as you possibly could want a player of his stature to guard. And I just straight up think he's good. I don't know. Like, he's got really quick hands. Do not leave the ball out in front of him, you know? So now if you want to talk about the stuff that he does as a five, where it's like, all right, is he going to be able to 2-9 off the ball when his man's in the weak side corner, and then he's got to hop back into the paint and come over from the weak side and protect the rim? I'm a little bit weary of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where sometimes you see the effort plays that people are looking for, where he's just like, he could make a contest, but sometimes he'll just like let the guy go. When he is, as our own Stephen G., Hoops in the chat, Stephen Gillespie says, locked up Kasperis on the perimeter. I think he forced him into an air ball at one point on one of those step backs. I think that he, when he's in the right spot, like, he is good at protecting the rim, because he's good at using his standing reach, and he can absorb contact. But yeah, like, that's kind of where the lack of vertical pop hurts him from a rim protection perspective. But like, I actually think like he's pretty good in a drop, because he can get low and backpedal and like read the ball, and like kind of play that cat and mouse with the big and the guard enough. He's not like elite at it. I'm not trying to say that, yeah. But like, I don't think that he's a negative on the defensive end. I just don't. And I get that. I've had conversations with guys that I respect in the space who disagree with me, and I think that's fine. But and if he goes to a really bad situation where they don't play any defense, I don't think it'll look good by any stretch. But he plays in a structured system with a team that knows what they're doing. I don't think that he's somebody that you're going to be like, oh man, in the playoffs they're going to just put him in pick and rolls all day. I don't think that's the case. And I think he offers enough versatility on the perimeter that you could also play him with a rim protector. Which again, like, this is where maybe some of my contradictions lie, in that like, I feel less comfortable saying that about Asa, where I'm sure other people would have that completely reversed.
Yeah. And Corey, like, I think that's why you and I both have Asa lower then we have Queen on our boards, because I think we feel a little bit more convicted about these things. But I really like what Brian K said in the chat. He's like, Queen has good defensive upside, but too many limitations to be elite, in my opinion. At that position, it's just tricky. I think that's very fair, because sure, that's kind of where I'm landing too. Like, I don't think my brain is telling me that I think Derek Queen's going to be an elite defender. But dude, if you want synergy and just click on his steals, right? Just like watch all his steals, right? And he's a guy that
as you mentioned, Corey, does a really good job of stepping out in on the perimeter, using his length, using his flexibility. Like it's not weird. It's great to see that he can take the athletic ability that he does have. Obviously, he doesn't have the vertical pop, but the side to side stuff, right? You mentioned like the flexibility in his hips. He applies that to the defensive side of the ball as well. And there are a lot of examples, if you go into the film, of him standing up guys on the perimeter, using his size, reading those hips, where they're going, getting there ahead of them, beating them to the spot, and then using his length to strip the ball, poke at balls. Mm-hmm. He's very, very good at that. And I think on the next level, he's only going to get better, in my opinion. And I think like as his conditioning improves, like he might be one of those guys that like is one of the like, leaders in deflections in the NBA. Like it mm-hmm. might happen. I'm not saying it will, but it could happen because he's so good at using his length. He has good anticipation. Right. He has good anticipation. He has like good instincts overall. And so at the end of the day, like, I don't think his vertical will ever be anything to write home about, no matter what he does. He could do plyometrics. He can get ankle weights. He can do it all. Right. He's going to be limited. Right. I think that's just a thing mm-hmm. for him. But overall, because of his IQ, because of the way that he moves, the way that he's got that bend and flexibility, and he can actually sit in the stands for a guy his size, I think that makes him a very capable defender. And once again, like even against bigger guys, like he's going to have some mass to him, and his hands are lightning quick. Like if you watch like his film, there are a lot of these like those swipe downs that he gets on bigs because like his hands are just super fast and he's got really, really good hand-eye coordination. And so I'm right there with you, Corey. I do not want to say that I think he's going to be an elite defender. Don't even want to say I think he's going to be a great defender. I think he'll either be average to above average. And that, what more do you need from a guy that can mm-hmm. do all the things that he can do for you offensively? And it will be like 6'10", 6'11". So this is just the, and once again, we talk about projections, right? What does this look like in 5 years with a more refined body, with more work on all those things? Like, what is this going to look like? And I feel more optimistic about Derek Queen long-term than I do about Asa, because I think there are still strong like baseline things he's doing right now that get you excited about what this looks like 5 years from now.
And also at the, I just like funky players. I like guys who like, you can't just be like, I'm going to go get that kind of player in free agency or something, or I'm going to try to like Queen is funky in like a good way. You know, like I think that what he can bring is a little bit more rare than what a lot of these other guys can bring. To me, he's my number one big in the class. You know, and I think like you look at a guy like Malawach, he is a guy who I think has a something rare about him just because of his, he's 7'2", 7'5" wingspan, right? Yeah. Where while his skill set might not be so rare, like you can't teach those physical dimensions. You know, but then you start getting into some of the other guys and they don't necessarily have that. What does this guy have that is super special for me that's a separator? You can make an argument either way. You can sell me on Colin Murray-Boyles over all of these guys long term, mm-hmm. or you know that Asa ends up being, you know, the better big out of the two long term, or there's somebody like Renaud who, if you know, from Stanford ends up being, you know, somebody who provides, you know, a lot more value. Like maybe Sorber is your cup of coffee, right? Like but at the end of the day, I think Queen's kind of blend of like perimeter shifty guard skills with some of the traditional big man stuff and the way that I think he's been able to move, I am all in on Queen. I'm willing to be wrong on him. I'm totally fine with it. Every time I've seen him, I've just been impressed. And I also love that he's got a little dog in him. He's got a little, I take things personal. I see what you write about me on the internet. I remember. I like that about him too. So, maybe I'm a little too high on my own supply with him, but I'm just a big, big, big fan. I think he's a top five player.
Yeah, Corey, I get it. Like sometimes when you get a player that's like not, you know, super conventional, you get scared, or you could get scared. Right, just being like, oh, this guy's like weird, and we really don't like see this type of guy in the league anymore, blah blah blah. But like sometimes you gotta zag, and I think Queen could be that type of player. And I hate that you mentioned Maxime Renaud, because man, I love that guy. And I've been really like, I got so excited when you mentioned his name, because I cannot wait for us to do a pod about him, because I've been watching a lot of his film recently and I'm like, oh, sign me up. I really like him. But no, I'm with you on Queen. He's a weird dude. You know what's funny? We like barely even touched on his passing. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, yeah. And I get it. I get it. Like, he's a really talented player, but the passing is special with him. And so, yeah, I'm right there with you, Corey. I think this is the type of bet that you take. I don't know if I feel like convicted that he's going to be like an all NBA guy or anything like that, but I think he's going to be a really good NBA player. And then that's ultimately, I think we feel about that way about both guys. Just we might be a little bit higher on Queen.
Yeah. I think that a top tier outcome, you could see Queen making all-star games in a way that maybe with some of the other bigs, I'm not necessarily sure if that's the case. I'm not saying that Derrick Queen is going to be an all NBA big man. I think that's a tough battle in this NBA with all the talent. I'm not trying to project that on him, but I think stylistically, guys who play like him with his IQ, with his skill level, like they figure it out wherever they go. And I think he's a little safer than maybe some people might think overall. So with that said, why don't you sell me this pen on Maryland's Derrick Queen?
Okay. If you're an NBA team that is okay with thinking outside the box, if you're interested in a big who is extremely versatile, has really high basketball IQ, that can pass the ball, okay, really, really pass the ball, while also gives you some versatility defensively as well. A guy who is working on his body, is working on his shooting, but already has really, really solid touch from inside and mid-range as well and from the free throw line. I think you should be really interested in Derrick Queen. Now, Derrick Queen is not going to be your cookie cutter 7-footer who you're going to ask to rim roll all the time, be that vertical threat and all that stuff. He's not that guy. He's just not. He's pretty ground bound, right? But he is different. He is a different style of player, a different fashion in which he finds success on the floor. And his biggest skill set is his brain. The guy is really, really smart. He knows how to function on almost any team. He knows how to fit in while also being really, really impactful. So I think if you're interested in a player like that, you should grab a guy like Derrick Queen.
I love it. I'm buying that pen. Yeah, big fan. I like both of these guys a lot. I think they're both NBA players. And I think sometimes just saying that is like, at this point with so much talent in the league, that's harder than it appears. But this is a really good episode. Really fun. Guys, I'm so happy we're back doing these deep dives, man. Just really getting into the nitty gritty and spending a lot of time talking about guys. It's always so much fun. If you missed our last episode, we broke down Cooper Flagg and Jahni Broome, kind of National Player of the Year candidates. And I don't know who we're going to hit next week, but I'm excited about it. So, Albert, tell the people where they can find you, and we'll get out of here.
You can find me at Alberto Gim on Twitter. You can find me at GTGNBA on Instagram. This was a good pod, Corey. Like, I feel great. I feel awesome. Maybe not as great as Modest Buzelis, but feeling pretty good.
He's been hooping lately. Maybe not as well as Kendall Gill seems to think, but shout out to Kendall Gill and his legendary cameo on My Brother and Me, Nickelodeon, back in the early 90s. you can find me at Corey Zeleba on Twitter, NBA Draft Dude elsewhere. You can follow all of our work at noceilingsnba.com. Make sure that you subscribe. It's free. Get stuff delivered to your inbox Monday through Friday. We had a lot of fun stuff coming out, including a brand new mock draft on the site, I believe tomorrow. So stay locked in there. Make sure you get that at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're watching live on YouTube, make sure that you like and subscribe before we get out of here. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, rate, review, and leave us a comment on the show so you can tell us how much you love or hate us. And with that said, we will be back next week. And until that time, we are out. Peace.
Peace.